Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Hello, welcome into the Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Melissa Hyak, and joining me on the line today is Dr. Carolyn Lam, Senior Consultant Cardiologist at National Heart Centre Singapore and Professor at Duke National University of Singapore, as well as co-founder of Us2.ai, a Singapore-based medical software and digital tool solutions provider. Hello, Prof. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
You're making us feel very under-accomplished. Huh? You have a lot of hyphens there. Am I pronouncing the name of your company properly? Is it Us2.ai, right?
Us2.ai, and that is perfect. And okay, honestly, hearing you, I was afraid to come across as schizophrenic, but I promise you that the roles kind of all make sense.
That's true.
At the end.
This is a natural, sort of a natural, organic sort of expansion of your roles, right? But okay, first let's get some things on common ground first, right? Cardiovascular disease in Singapore and in the region, right? How common is it?
Would you believe me if I told you that cardiovascular disease, which is heart disease and stroke, is our top killer? Not just talking about some kind of Western statistic, but actually in Singapore and in fact across Asia, one in three of us is going to die of cardiovascular disease. And just because we're ladies, we're not spared of this statistic.
Right. Oh, sorry, can I be more specific on that top killer, right? It's a top killer, it's not the top killer, because my understanding is that cancer is actually a top killer in Singapore.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So it's roughly that one in three of us mm-hmm. will die of heart disease and stroke. Mm-hmm. One in three of us will die of cancer, and then another, you know, the rest will the other causes follow. But what's important is that when we talk about heart disease and stroke as a group, it is taking one in three lives. And if you were to compare that to a single cancer, for example, breast cancer, you know, a lot of women worry a lot about breast cancer. Remember that actually heart disease and stroke kill a lot more than a single cancer like breast cancer.
Okay.
But if you group all the cancers together, another one is you have a sigh of cancer.
Ah, okay. I noticed you highlighted women just now. Now, anecdotally, I know of more men with heart disease and, you know, or suffered from, you know, heart issues and strokes compared with women. But yeah, like you pointed out, the official data seem to suggest that cardiovascular issues are in fact the top killer for women here. So what is it about women that make them more susceptible to heart diseases?
You know, I wouldn't say it's more susceptible. I would say it's as susceptible as men. The only reason we have this impression that it's more men, it's because the heart disease actually affects men at a younger age than us women. So if you look, for example, at people in their 30s or 40s, it's true that more men than women have heart disease. But once we hit menopause, which is on average at age 50 and beyond, you'll see that the prevalence of heart disease actually increases rapidly in women and then even overtakes the men. So it is things like the usual risk factors of getting older, smoking, being overweight, having diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. These are all the risk factors for heart disease and stroke that we also need to pay attention to as women, not just the men.
Are there other reasons as well for, you know, heart disease perhaps not being picked up earlier in women?
Yes, and there are actually numerous reasons. One of them is that truly the symptoms in women can be different and not as classical as in men. For example, a typical heart attack, we know that the classic symptoms are chest pain, right? Person hunches over, they describe it like an elephant sitting on the chest. Well, women can also suffer chest pain. First, let me make sure that that is clear, yeah? Also have chest pain as the sign. But more often than in the men, women can get atypical symptoms such as a feeling of throat tightness, jaw pain. You know, some of my patients have actually gone to see a dentist before realizing that it's heart disease and then coming to see me, back pain, fatigue. So that is an important reason. Symptoms are different. But I also think women are more apt to underestimating their own risk of heart disease. So women always think that it's a man's disease, so they don't realize that they need to know their own blood pressure and take care of their own blood sugar and cholesterol as well. They dismiss symptoms as being, frankly, they'll blame themselves, say, oh, it's because I'm not fit or I ate too much, instead of thinking, no, I actually have heart disease and something that needs medical help. Mm. So there's that. And then, and this is where my roles maybe converge. What I feel very, very strongly about is some of the tools that us cardiologists use most often to detect heart disease early, which is ultrasound of the heart or echocardiography, is restricted to cardiologists and in specialist centers.
Right.
And, you know, I feel so strongly that a tool as safe as ultrasound, you know, it's the same modality that we use to look at babies, unborn babies in our tummies, right?
Mm-mm.
So it's very safe. Why isn't it available to more people? Why isn't it available at a general practice setting so that others can also screen the heart using this tool and look at the heart? And hence, that was the motivation, frankly, for setting up our company, Us2AI. Mm.
Okay, so what does Us2AI bring to the table in terms of that kind of ultrasound technology for heart disease detection that wasn't there before?
Yeah, very simply, it is actually AI or artificial intelligence software that fully automate the interpretation of an ultrasound of the heart. Now, I know that sounds, what is that? Oh my goodness, software, how in the world does it reach a patient? But
exactly.
Let me give this analogy. Melissa, are you wearing a smartwatch that potentially is tracking your heart rate and can tell you if you've got irregular beats?
Yes.
So here is the analogy.
Right.
It used to be that even the electrocardiogram, okay, ECG, so this is different, it's electrical rhythm of the heart. It used to be something that you had to go to a cardiologist to do. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you needed our expertise to read it, and we read it very, very manually with calipers and things like that, you know, measuring out the intervals. But with AI, now we can do an electrocardiogram and a general practitioner can read the AI output that says normal ECG, abnormal ECG, and so on, right? And in fact, the AI has advanced so much, along with, of course, good hardware, which is that watch that you're wearing, so that even the AI in your watch can tell you, are things normal or not? Is the rhythm regular or not?
Mm-hmm.
We are to ultrasound what that AI on your watch is doing for ECG. The first step is to really automate and make reliable the interpretation of the ultrasound. After that, we hopefully can democratize this tool to general practitioners and even, who knows, even let you have an ultrasound probe in your purse one day and you can do a heart selfie.
Okay, we already have those, like, you know, home use heart blood pressure machines, right? So we're looking at something like that. I understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, I also understand that this software this platform that was developed is actually the receiver of the first U.S. FDA clearance for something like that.
Yes, we're really, really, and I'm grateful to be able to tell you even now, we now have clearance in the U.S., that's with the FDA, in EU with the CE mark, in Singapore with our HSA approval, and in multiple other regions now, Canada, Australia, multiple other regions in the world. So we're really, really excited. It's been long, hard work to get here.
It is. And congratulations. I understand also you recently received $15 million in funding for the company. What does the company plan to do with this investment?
We want to get into the hands of clinicians, into the hands of even nurses, into the hands of anyone who is involved in heart health care. This is really, really the time now that we have proven technology. We've got regulatory approval. It's really time to reach the patient. So that's what the whole money is going to be focused on, really, in the implementation clinically of our software and, you know, to detect heart disease earlier, to really enable more people to get access to their own heart health.
And to be clear, is it currently already in use in practice in Singapore? And where can we find it if it is?
Oh, well, thank you for that question. So I practice at the National Heart Center.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm very, very grateful for the support there, where we are now piloting the software in the clinics. And gradually, because, you know, we're all always very, very careful, we always want to make sure that anything that is clinically implemented has been proven and validated. So even though it's regulatory approved, we're also doing internal testing and piloting in several hospitals in Singapore. We're also very lucky to have IHH, who is our, lead sponsor in our recent Series A funding, and we're hoping to pilot in all the IHH hospitals as well.
And who are the other people behind this? I understand ASTAR, our Singapore Agency for Science and Technology, is somehow involved as well.
Oh, not just somehow involved. A true key partner that enabled the birth of the idea in the first place. So indeed, ASTAR, with their Accelerate arm that it used to be called, were the ones who provided seed funding to enable US2AI to even be developed, and that was way back in 2017.
A lot somehow involved. Now maybe you can share with us some tips actually on how to take care of our heart health. I know you've mentioned some things above, you know, earlier in our conversation, and a lot of them seemed, you know, fairly commonsensical. So is there anything else above and beyond what you've told us, like not smoking, eating properly, you know, not being overweight? What else do you do to take care of your heart?
Oh, Alyssa, you know, sometimes when I say those things, I can almost hear people rolling their eyes. Can you do that? But, you know, I know that people don't like to hear that it's, again, you know, back to the stuff that's so difficult to do and lifestyle and so on. But can I please encourage everyone that truly prevention is so much more worth it than cure? One of the things that may be first things to do is give up any bad habits like smoking. And then if I could encourage everyone too, that when we say exercise and things, it's not like you don't have to suddenly go and buy spandex and the latest shoes, you know. It's seriously just being active. If you ask me personally what I do, well, when I go to clinics, my office is on the 10th floor of the National Heart Center. I walk up the 10 floors, and that's good enough. I mean, I'm pretty there, but, you know, that's my little stress test for myself. You know, just building it into your routine life so it becomes more like brushing teeth. But above all of that, I think it's just acknowledging that we're at risk. I think if we will just accept that there's a risk, at least know and examine the risk. Don't keep being ignorant of it. In other words, when you're next seeing a doctor, make sure you just check your blood pressure. And don't ignore it if it's high, because maybe there's something you can do to prevent the heart disease. Similarly with cholesterol. Remember, with cholesterol, with diabetes, even with high blood pressure, you won't feel it in the early stages. We have to actually know our numbers. So I would say acknowledge our risk, know our numbers, and, you know, be honest with ourselves.
Actually, it's interesting, you know, what you mentioned about just incorporating all these movements into our daily lives. Because I remember something that struck me very, very strongly once, something I saw on, you know, social media, usually full of nonsense, right? But this one was, you know, very, you know, very pertinent. I thought they showed the picture of a chair and indicated that, you know, that's a bigger killer than even cigarettes. Because I think, especially in this day and age, that's just being sedentary and sitting down all the time. Like even right now in the studio, we have, you know, nice high stools, but I try to make it a habit to just stand during the during the show, so that helps a little bit.
There you go, exactly. There you go. Wow, that is a powerful picture.
Yeah,
simple things like squats.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, but of course, I think to clarify, also smoking bad, don't do it. You know,
don't say
that. You know, stand me up so I'm smoking like that. Okay, well, Dr. Lam, it's been great speaking to you. Prof Lam, it's been great speaking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your time, for sharing your wisdom, and definitely for putting Singapore on the map as well in the medical world. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Dr. Carolyn Lam, Senior Consultant Cardiologist at the National Heart Centre Singapore, Professor at Duke National University of Singapore, and co-founder of medtech startup Us2AI, a Singapore-based medtech startup that's making waves in the field of heart disease detection. I'm Melissa here for the Workday Afternoon, and you are with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.